Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
The history of the Church of Jesus Christ is the most miraculous one in the history of mankind. There was a pastor who reported that the membership of his church was about 120 souls. They had not been able to attain a building, so they were meeting in a little second-story room. They couldn't find a place in the city to rent. They were unable to fill a leadership vacancy that had been caused because one of their number, who started out with them, had abandoned them, had betrayed them, and had basically sold them out. The task of reaching their community seemed well beyond their ability to do so. They had very little money, very few people, a whole lot of fear, and they faced a community outside their doors that basically was hostile to their message. Sound like a church, you know? Well, this was the only church in the whole world after Jesus died. There were about 120 people in Jerusalem who were believers. They were believers because they had seen Jesus after the resurrection. They had touched him, they had eaten with him, they had heard him. But all of that meant nothing to their outreach because they were centered on their own organizational needs, on their own personal needs. And so the people beyond the doors of their room were untouched with the good news that Jesus had departed to them. Nothing was happening among them that would make any difference to the world outside. But Jesus had promised that all that would change. That a time would come when they would all be baptized in the Holy Spirit and everything in the world would change for them. They would be made new creatures. Jesus said that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:5, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you, this little dead church, would be witnesses to him throughout Jerusalem and Samaria, Judea, to the uttermost parts of the earth." Sounded like a promise that was empty, full of hot air, because they couldn't see beyond their own condition. They perceived themselves to be weak, and they were therefore ineffective in trying to reach the world for Christ. Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we look into your word today, may we find there a message that speaks to our heart. May we find your words alive, that speak to us over the centuries, that speak to us over the eternities of time. May we hear from you, not from me. My words are nothing. They're useless. They're empty. They're absolutely dung. We didn't come here to hear me. We've come here, gathered in this place, to hear from you. For only you have the words of life and death. Only you can touch us in our complacency and where we live. Only you can awaken us into real life and life eternal. You have those words. May we hear them today. May we hear the words that you would speak to us in our own heart. Whether we're young or whether we're old, whether we're somewhere in between, whether we speak Spanish as our first language or English as our first Spanish language or Spanish or German or French, whatever it is that you need to do, Father, do it. Penetrate our hearts so that we may understand your love for us and your willingness to give us part of yourself. For you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life with you. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you look in your Bibles, if you have one in the pew, to Acts, the second chapter, and I'll only be doing 5 verses, and all the people said, Amen. 5 verses are going to take a long time. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. We could stop and pitch a tent right there. They did not come as separate peoples, but as one people yearning to hear from God. They did not come from different stratas of life. They did not come from ethnic groups or any other kind of division. They came as one in one accord, meaning that they came with one intention in mind, to hear from God. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the very first Christians, and their world would never be the same again. The word translated breath or wind or spirit all come from the same root Hebrew word, rush. Listen to that word, rush. It even sounds like a rushing wind. It sounds rush. You know, we're so analytical, we always ask the question, has this ever been done in history before? Well, yes, it has. God breathed on us before. In Genesis, God formed a man from the dust of the ground. His name was Adam, and he rushed into him, and he became a living soul. It is God's breath that sustains us. When a baby is born and we hear that first cry, that first sound that is emitted, it is because he has received the breath of God. Then after the resurrection, Jesus breathed. He rushed upon his disciples. It was a foretaste of what would happen when the Holy Spirit came. He said, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Inhale. We had a president who said he didn't inhale. Inhale. And now the Holy Spirit comes as a mighty rushing wind. He rushed into the room. It says that he filled the whole room. You couldn't be in the room if you weren't filled with the Spirit, because the room itself was filled with the breath of God. Every breath we take, every step we take, is because of the power of God. Like breathing into Adam and making him a living soul, the Holy Spirit breathed into that dead church and made it a new creature. A new creature came to life in that room. A creature that the world had never seen before. Because the Holy Spirit didn't come upon them as had been the case in the past. The Holy Spirit came upon the kings and the priests and the prophets of God. It came upon them like a covering. That's the reason David said, "Oh, do not take thy spirit from me." It was like a covering. It was like a cloak. But that could be removed. This didn't happen that way. They were baptized, saturated, breathed in the Holy Spirit of God. God came within them. He created a new thing within them. They were new creatures in Christ Jesus. It was a different kind of breath. A breath that gave life. You know, every moment we stand before you, we're taking breath, oxygen, H2O, out of the air. We take a deep breath when we go to the doctor's office. He says, take a deep breath. Breathe. If you don't want to die, just don't stop breathing. If you want the life that God has given you, never stop inhaling His Spirit. Formed a new life, a life that had never been seen. And in verse 3 it says, there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. Once again, have we seen fire used this way before in the Scriptures? And the answer is, of course, yes. Moses saw the burning bush. You remember the burning bush? It seemed to burn, but it did not consume that which it burned over. It was the presence of God. As a matter of fact, Moses removed his sandals because he realized he was standing on holy ground. He was in the presence of God. And in the flames of that fire, God said, "I am that I am." There was no question that God's presence was there. And during that time when Moses experienced the flaming fire of God, God instructed him as what he was to do. He was to go to Pharaoh and say to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Moses, of course, didn't accept that right away. He said, "Let my brother Aaron do it, because I stutter." And God said, "No, I've appeared to you. My flame is on you. You go." That was the first time we have the flame of God directing the path of a person, but it's not the last. As the people were liberated and were out there in the desert wandering about, there was a tower of flame by night. It didn't consume anything. It was self-sustaining. It was a fire that they saw that directed them at night as to where they were going, and it gave them the sense of God's presence among them. He was there. He was a comfort to them. He brought heat and light to their dark times. The flame of God, our God, is a consuming fire. And now, the Holy Spirit brings the presence of Almighty God. And little flames are above each and every person, symbolizing the presence of God in their life, giving them direction as to what they are to do. And finally, it says in verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Why? Have we ever seen this before? Have we ever seen someone speak a different language before? Well, yes. Back in Genesis again, there was a rebellious people who decided to build a tower up to heaven. We call it the Tower of Babel because God turned their tongues to confusion. They couldn't understand one another. There were different languages spoken. And they could not complete the tower because of the conflict. Was there another time? Yes. God, by His anointing, by His presence, by His covering, empowered His kings and His priests and His prophets by speaking, "Thus saith the Lord." He allowed them to be the mouthpiece that He was going to use to touch the hearts of the people. And they were there for that purpose. They were using that very power, that hot coal placed on their tongue, as Jeremiah says, to give them what only God could give them. So they spoke in His name. They spoke the words of God. And now, the Holy Spirit comes. And He gives these people what they could not have otherwise had. They're now able to speak in languages that they don't themselves understand. It says that all these people in verse 5 who came, and we know that they came to Jerusalem at the time of Passover, for every region of the world they came, and they all heard in their own language. God was taking the Tower of Babel and busting it in two, and He was transforming the people so that they could speak the Word of God in a way that it was understood by all men, so that Jesus' command that you would go into all the world and make disciples, make people who showed their love for Jesus Christ by keeping His commands, they had that ability, the ability to say, "Thus saith the Lord," in every language in the world they could understand. That is what happened that day. The day that God came into the life of ordinary Christians like us. God came. God gave them new life. God rushed upon them. God gave them His presence, as you have felt His presence burning in you. He has given them a direction, as He has given you a direction, to love your neighbors as yourself, to turn the other cheek, to do good to those who spitefully use you, to do all the things that Jesus taught us to do. Jesus said, "These things I do, you will do, and greater." And He gave and equipped them with that which allowed them to do just exactly what He had said. God gave that dead church new life and life abundant. But for what purpose? You see, the power of God always comes with a purpose. It doesn't come so that someone can exalt themselves. You can't just go around speaking in tongues or healing somebody or doing something else that God has gifted you to do because you want to impress others about how holy you are. That is not God's purpose. God's purpose is not about you. It's all about Him. God had a purpose. God wants us to use the power that He gives us to reach the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. There have been many people who have been called by God to do that. But it seems as though today we are in a situation where the church has traded the power of God for a good reputation among men. We don't want to be known as those who are subjected to the power of God. We want to be those who fit in. Can't we all just get along? We don't want to stand out. We want to be a part of the herd. God calls you to be shepherds, not sheep. He wants each and every one of us to be like Christ. God took a lifeless church and breathed upon it for a purpose. For a purpose. Why has He breathed upon you? Why has He given you the opportunity to have life and life abundant? Why has He gifted you? Sometimes we allow those gifts to remain dormant like a Christmas present we never open. We only live part of our lives instead of the life He intended us to live because we're afraid to open it up. God always uses His power for a purpose, and you have to examine yourself to find out what God's purpose for your life is. And in order to find out, you have to simply ask Him. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He was set out to speak the words of God to a people who were rebellious. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Was he popular? No. They persecuted him. They disregarded him. He never had a convert. He didn't in any way seem to succeed as the world calls success. He cried for the people because of their hard-heartedness, because they would not hear the message of God. He knew what was coming because God had told him. He warned the people of what was coming if they didn't repent, but they would not repent. The same thing could be said of Pharaoh. When Moses came, Pharaoh would not hear him. He said, "Let my people go. My God says, let my people go." Would he hear it? No. One disaster upon another fell upon Pharaoh, but he would not believe. Today, there are countless people who hear the message of Jesus Christ, the good news, who refuse to allow it to come into their life and make them a new creature. Too many of our churches are like the church in Jerusalem prior to Pentecost. They're dead, without the power to pursue the purposes of God. That is not a critique. This church is one of them. You know, this last week I was called out as a chaplain of the police and fire department to go to various calls where people had died. And so the first call I got of the week, I got all dressed up in my best chaplain attire so I could represent God in the presence of that turmoil and that trauma. I didn't want to be an obstacle. And so I took a shower and put on clothes and got my equipment together and went out to the car and turned on the car, and it wouldn't go. And so I was in a hurry, and so I used my other car. And I arrived there in the other vehicle. And I had a difficult time because the people knew who God was, but they hadn't allowed God to transform their lives. And I'm in a situation there which is ordered by the police not to actually say certain things unless I'm asked. I can tell people about the psychological things they're going to go through, the grief, and I can talk to them about funeral homes, and I can talk to them about a lot of other things. But I can only talk to them about Christ if they ask. I can only pray with them if they ask. But of course, on the way over, I'm always praying that God will open up the door and allow me to be useful. The second call I received that day, I went through the same procedure. I was still dressed, but I jumped in my car and turned on the key, and nothing happened. I had to use the other car to go. And that was a terrible situation as well. But when I got back, I realized that the reason my car wouldn't turn on is because the battery was dead. Now, the battery in a car can do many things. It can run a radio or a CD player or turn on the lights or do all kinds of things. But it wasn't designed for any of those purposes particularly. It was designed to have the power to turn on the car. And I had to replace the battery so that the car would then turn on. God designs us so that we will do the things He's designed us to do. We can't turn on the world without His power. We can't do anything beyond these doors without His power. Oh, we can do all kinds of things with God's power that we could never do before. We can serve 1,500 people a week food out of our food pantry. We can serve them on Thanksgiving Day, as we will be serving 2,400 people at a sit-down meal. We could not do that. Look around you. We do not have the resources. We don't have the resources to take care of 1,100 kids for Christmas. We don't have the resources to give away 1,000 coats on Thanksgiving Day. We don't have the resources to do the things we do for school supplies for 600 or 700 kids. We don't have the resources. But we do, because we are submitted to God. God gives us the power to do it. We're like that battery. Sometimes we need an extra charge. We need to be recharged by the Maker who made us. God empowers His people. And when He does so, He's designing them for a purpose. And that purpose is, quite frankly, to be missionaries to the world across denominational lines. Psalm 62:11 is one of my favorite verses, because it says, God has said once, and I've heard twice, that all power belongs to God. Think about that a minute. The power did not belong to Peter or James or John. He didn't just give them the anointing. He anointed everybody in the room. Everybody in the room could breathe in the breath of God. Everybody in the room had a flame of God's presence around them and His direction upon them. Everybody in the room could speak, "Thus saith the Lord," to the people. Everybody. He is no respecter of persons in His sight. Each of us is precious. D.L. Moody didn't have all the power. Charles Haddon Spurgeon didn't have all the power. Martin Luther didn't have all the power. I thank God that TV preachers and personalities don't have all the power. God gives His power to all of those who will follow Him. That's where there is with Him. There is no laity or clergy with Him. God calls all of us to be the church. The happiest day of my life is on the 27th of November this year, because that's on Thanksgiving Day. It's my birthday too. Yay! Should God tarry, I'll be able to breathe that breath of life on my birthday. But it's my favorite day of the year, not because it's my birthday, but because I get to see God's people volunteering over here. They're volunteering from every church imaginable. They're coming in from every place. I don't even have to put out the word. They just come. They come to feed people, and they understand it's a community Thanksgiving, and we're there just to love on people. Yes, we're going to be taking names for people who want to help with Christmas. And yes, there are going to be people that hand out coats because they're people that are cold. Yes, we're making gifts for people who are imprisoned in nursing homes so that they can receive a Christmas gift. Yes, we're doing all those things on Christmas on Thanksgiving Day. But the greatest reward of Thanksgiving Day is that there will be many who come to Christ because of that ministry. We've never had a Thanksgiving where people didn't accept Jesus Christ. That is where the power is. It was given out at Pentecost. It's given out today. It was given out in that one little room. It's given out around the world. It is free for the asking. Jesus said, those who want, all you have to do is ask. You have not, for you ask not. Are you asked not correct? You ask because of personal power. You want to lay hands on people, or you want to do this, or you want to do that. That is not the purpose of God. His purpose is that He be exalted and that we exalt Him by giving Him all the glory and all of the power. Everyone who yields will be given. Today, that Pentecostal Spirit can come upon you and come in you and dwell with you. Jesus says, I will come and the Father will come with me and we will come inside you and dine with you. Dining in the Middle East was a real big deal. That's the reason Jesus was so bombarded by these people that were trying to persecute him, because he ate with the publicans and sinners. Because eating in the Middle East with someone is showing your respect for them and their equality with you. Jesus says he and the Father will come in and dine with you today. Today he'll lift you up out of the deadness of your life and give you a new life. Today he will come as a pillar of fire. His presence will be there. You'll want to take off your sandals because you will be on holy ground. All of that he will do for the purpose. A purpose of you yielding your spirit to His so that you might be used by Him to reach the world around you. You can breathe the breath of life. You can experience God's presence. You can receive the gift of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. All this you can do today because I proclaim to you that where Jesus said two or three are gathered in His name, here is He in the very midst of us. Doesn't matter our skin color. It doesn't matter whether we have money or none. It doesn't matter whether we're dressed to the nines or we're not. It doesn't make any difference. God loves you. And He wants you to love and serve Him. We say, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Do you want that today? Do you want the Holy Spirit of God to transform you, to empower you, to make you a new creature? Do you want the flame of His love to burn out all the sins in your life, to purify you, to make you whole like a newborn child in His sight? Do you want to be able to speak with the love that allows people to hear the message that He has given you? Do you want to be His witnesses? If you do, His arms are wide open.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.